Help our network grow by pledging to our Patreon. From now until the end of the year, we are asking our listeners to donate a minimum of $1. In order to keep the network alive, we need to hit 100 subscribers before the end. So help us keep the lights on by heading over to www.patreon.com/Rain Man Digital. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details.
That is kind of morbid. I think I need to rewrite that.
Yeah.
The end.
Before the end, we're all going to die. We live off of morsels that we purchase with the money you send us. They all have this, five of you.
They have this chained up. If we don't get to 100, they will not release us.
Yeah. We are writing to you via a transcriber because we are cuffed and bound. We cannot move. Please help us.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to this.
Superman.
I'm sorry to be here.
Who are you?
The lasso of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new season of DC on RMD Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. As you may or may not know, I hope you do if you're tuning back in. You can find us on a bunch of different places. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on iTunes still. All sorts of places. We also have a Patreon. There's all sorts of stuff. So, you know, support us. Thanks. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. I am, once again, your host, Lauren, and I have Nicole with me.
Hey, wow.
Bobby.
Hello, hello.
We're all back.
It's been so long.
It's been so long. It feels like forever.
it's always funny when it's like this. It's like, oh my God, it's been so long. About December, we'd be like, when the fuck are we getting a break?
Yeah.
That's so true.
Honestly. But, you know, with every other show but Supergirl. With Supergirl, we're like, when do the breaks stop?
No kidding.
Yes.
Please don't have
Please no
that
more
many.
Breaks.
Especially running on a Sunday again, right?
We just want to record our shows.
See you in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Man. Ooh. All right, so we're back with a new season. Supergirl Season 5, Episode 1, Event Horizon. Kara and Lena finally have the talk as we get a new look for Supergirl and a new owner of Catco. Again.
They must just have the worst business plan.
Yeah.
Really high turnover over there.
So Jesse Warren was the director for this episode, a familiar name for us. And it was written by Derek Simon and Nikki Holcomb, which I think are also familiar names, right?
Yes, I believe these are the three people that did the finale last season.
Okay. All right. So we're finally there.
After 5 years.
After 5 years, we're finally there, and I am crushed. I'm so upset with what they're doing to Lena. She's teetering on the brink of villainy, and it, despite her, you know, reassuring her AI and herself that I'm no villain, but honestly, are you kidding me?
Literally doing every single thing a villain does, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and now, to be fair, I think it probably is constructive for her to go through simulations of how she would react or just unleashing her anger in certain ways. I'm sure there's a bit of therapeutic relief in that. So, like, that's cool. Instead of actually doing it, curb it. I get it. That's cool. That's great. That's definitely not a villain thing to do. And she doesn't want to kill Supergirl. Great. Awesome. However, she's still put up this blockade, and I'm just so bummed. I'm so bummed that Lena's going down this very predictable Luther emotional path when it comes to not being told that Kara's Supergirl. I do understand it to a point until we get to the moment where Kara actually tells her, you know, Lena's manipulating her and going, oh, but you're so much better of a person than I am. Oh, I'm sorry I didn't tell you.
I guess it's just the Luther in me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just manipulating. And then Kara tells her, and it seems like for a moment it broke through to her. And she realized that Kara really regretted not telling her and wasn't doing it to hurt her, but she was being a coward and she was scared to lose her. And it's shitty, but I feel like it's understandable.
No.
And then
they fucked up on this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but when it happened, I think if I was as best friends, as I'll air quote, as they say they were, and anybody came to me, you know, and explained to me the situation like Kara did, I don't think I could ever be mad at that person, especially for something that was like really not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things when you explain it. So, I mean, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I was just like, I know we've dreaded this moment for like the last, you know, 4 or 5 seasons as we've been doing this. And I just don't like the way they pulled it off. And just the, like we said, the typical Luther thing now. She's a Luther.
I would have been okay with it if she had left off with, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm not going to send that article out. Like, that's ridiculous. I let my emotions get the better of me. I felt betrayed. You know, it was kind of a flashback to how my family always treated me. Because I do understand, you know, when you've been lied to and manipulated and kept out, like kept in the dark of things for so long, lying becomes such a sensitive topic that the second that someone lies to you at all, it's immediately a bigger deal than it might be for someone else, even if the lie was about something that's not a big deal in the scheme of things. I've definitely been in situations like that where, you know, it was like I had been lied to by someone so many times that the next person that lied to me, I was so frustrated and it felt so betraying that I was just like, nope, that's it. That's where I draw the line. You are cut off, done. Like, that's, I don't care if it was not a huge thing. I don't stand for that. I don't tolerate it. So, I understand her being emotional beforehand. I understand her being petty and manipulative beforehand. She was upset and she felt like nothing more than, you know, some pawn in Supergirl's plan. So, warranted emotional reaction. But afterwards, after, you know, not sending in that article, I was like, great, awesome. They're going to be okay. She hugged her, said, you'll always be my best friend. And then we get that. That would have been fine. That would have been good for me. Forgive her. You don't have to forgive her immediately. Tell her you understand. You feel like you need to build the trust back up in the relationship. We're not where we were, but I understand and I will forgive you at some point. I get it. I that'd be great. But we get that scene where Lena's talking to her little AI thing and talking about how she needs to make Supergirl believe that there's still trust there because she can use Supergirl.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Like, I don't know where they're going with this. Nicole, could you forgive somebody for this kind of thing? Or, like, what did you think?
I'm pretty frustrated about it too. I would have been fine if she was like, no, I decided against it. It's going to take some time. I get the whole, like, I don't trust her thing. Especially given Lena's past. I would be hesitant too, but like still full on going, oh, I'm going to make her pay still, you know, I'm just going to get some revenge. That was so disappointing to me.
I just don't know where, like, what level of lie that would make me turn my back on a best friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because sometimes you have to tell friends or you keep secrets, you know, the little white lies to protect people. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys don't necessarily need to know everything, you know, because what do you gain from it if it's going to hurt you?
Yeah.
And you would think somebody with the brains of, you know, would understand that. And so I just don't know, like, where that threshold would fall for me. And I know we've talked about it for so long to where we wanted this to avoid this conversation altogether.
Because we were worried that this sort of thing would happen.
Yes.
So I mean, I don't know about you, but if someone came to me and they confessed something like that to me, even if I knew about it and I was upset with them for it, if they came to me and they said, listen, I was a coward. I was scared. I made up this excuse in my head and I kept putting it off and I kept putting it off. And the truth is I was just hurting you and I'm really sorry.
Like that sort of reaction from her, there's no way that could not be genuine, how she confessed that way. And she put herself in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah. Right before she was about to be, you know, announced and like brought out for an award by her friend who was going to give this whole speech about how wonderful she is. You know, mm-hmm. she broke down and she said, I can't do this. I need to be forthcoming with you. I don't know how you couldn't at least understand that and forgive a little bit of it.
Yeah, have some time to process.
Also,
if had 4 months
I heard,
to process.
If I heard something, if someone I knew came to me and said, hey, here's some evidence that your best friend is not who you think they are and is this doing this and blah, 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 I would go to that person and I would say, hey, we need to talk about something. Someone brought something up to me and showed me concrete evidence. You know, why didn't you tell me about this? How could you keep me in the dark like that? And maybe we'd have an argument, but we'd talk it out like fucking adults. I wouldn't sit back like some villain mastermind and plot some revenge thing like, what? And did she sell the company really because it was a money pit? Or did she sell it because, you know, it was a way to get back at Supergirl and she needed some contacts and stuff? Honestly, I think that's the answer.
Yeah. Even though I don't agree with the storyline decision, the execution was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The acting is so solid.
Like, I can't hate on the execution of what they were given because I believed every single thing. I know I might have been, and I think we all are the same thing of the eye roll of we didn't really want this to happen, but I can't hate on the performance that they gave while giving this speech.
And even though I hate the direction they went, it was written well. Like, the writing of the story, the way that they tied everything together was written well. The actors did an amazing job with their parts. And I'm just furious. So mad. But on the bright side, we have a new costume. And I like it so far. I think it's interesting. I do like, especially that we have a new means of changing into the costume rather than just a shirt rip, because she's often wearing dresses and some are form fitting and there's no way you're hiding a super suit under there.
It's bulky. Bulky.
Oh, you been eating a little bit more than usual, putting on some pounds? See some little rolls there.
It's just my cape. It's 97 degrees out. Why do you need all these fucking layers?
Yeah.
God, Kara. Should lay off the donuts.
Well, what do you guys think? Nicole, how do you feel about the new suit?
I like it. Because I actually have a Supergirl suit.
I was going to ask you, are we upgrading to the pants now?
More than likely. Let's be real. Because I actually wore that suit to an event that was outdoors and it was windy. And I was like, how the fuck does this woman fly with a fucking skirt? Because shit was going up.
Booty shorts.
Must be. I don't know. I didn't
booty shorts help you fly?
No, but they help not show your vagina to people.
Whoa.
No, the suit actually...
Don't have that problem. Don't need booty shorts, I guess.
I do like the new suit. I even like how... Yeah, I like how she now puts, quote unquote, puts the suit on.
Yeah.
Very Tony Stark-like.
I wanted to see, like... We don't get the goofiness anymore. I wanted to see the suit accidentally start coming out when she takes her glasses off.
Yeah, that was the one thing. I was like, ooh, please take it off in front of people on accident.
Like, how do I get this shit back in?
I think there's room for that later on because she did it probably so deliberately the first time that she was like, okay, I got to do it right. But he did say, you know, or putting them back on, like, you know, whatever. It can kind of, you know, just be careful. So there's... there's potential for that later. But I enjoyed the little moment where she was like, pants!
Because that was cute. That was just a cute little...
That's every woman discovering, like, convenience in clothing.
That was me the first time I found leggings with pockets.
Yeah.
Pockets!
Exactly. We're always just so happy to find that clothing that is comfortable actually has some level of convenience. Women's clothes are just not meant for storing anything or being convenient at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
What about the hair?
It's okay. Fine.
You don't like it?
Meh. I don't care.
I don't like bangs.
Okay.
I don't like her bangs.
Okay.
All right. I just thought it was funny. The first thing I thought, I'm like, Lena should definitely recognize her now because Supergirl and her both have bangs.
Yeah.
You guys are just like best friends now or something? Like, yes. You just got the same haircut?
Oh, yeah. I go to the salon and I point at the Supergirl cut, and that's what I want. She updates her style, so do I.
Yeah, I mean, I could have done without the bangs, but I also, they don't bother me so much that I care. I don't care.
It's me hair. As a cosplayer, I care, but like, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, cool.
I don't think it looks bad. I don't think it looks great.
You just don't see like a bold change like that. And I don't know superheroes with bangs.
Listen, if I thought harder, I could probably think of some.
Raven?
Okay, yeah, I was going to go Raven. Sure. I was like, that was the first one that came up. I'm like, it's...
It depends on iterations of characters because they all get, like, the women get drawn with different hairstyles all the time. Starfire definitely had bangs for a hot minute. Black Widow has absolutely had bangs. Mockingbird.
Power Girl. I'm pretty sure had bangs at one point.
Oh, yeah. I think so at one point. I don't know if...
Gwen Stacy. Yeah.
All right. Spider-Gwen. You guys win.
Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Listen, man.
You just, like, listed every character. Yeah, you know.
Their hairstyles change. It happens, okay?
Because, like girls, we like to change our hairstyle every so often.
There it is.
I don't have that option anymore, so I'm just jealous.
Sorry for your
I'll
loss.
Get you a wig. Would you like some bangs?
Yes, I would. I would love bangs.
Yeah, I'll get you a wig.
But bangs, growing bangs isn't my problem.
Growing hair at all?
Yes, growing hair at all. And the skullet isn't a look.
All right.
If I can make the skullet work, I would be an amazing man.
I believe in you. You can give it a shot.
No, I'm not ready for that ridicule.
All right. Well,
it's an awkward stage to get from bald to skullet.
So listen, DC on RMD listeners, if you love our shows and maybe also skullets, please share with your friends and review. With every share and or review, you help our show climb those charts wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play. Simply remember to share those links each and every episode. It helps us out a lot. Let's get into Catco. We've got a new owner. I didn't recognize the name of the character, but I recognized the actress. I don't know if anyone knows the character as far as, like, you know, potential future role.
I just thought it was weird that we've had a new owner again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
It's just like, how many media companies get sold every season?
Yeah. Apparently she's nothing like her comic counterpart, so we'll see what happens with that. But I like her, but I hate her because she's like against my characters, you know? Like, she's obviously an antagonist and she's good at it, which I like, but also, hey, back off, lady. Like, she's a good actress. She's compelling to watch. And it's one of those characters that I think we're going to love to hate.
Was she trying to cat Grant a little too much there?
I don't think so. I don't know. I didn't see any cat Grant there.
Well, just the whole, like, ending part of, well, don't, you know, I want you to go against me.
I don't know. I didn't see that. I don't see her wanting her to go against her. I just think she isn't concerned because she's going to get her way no matter what because of their contracts and blacklisting and whatever else.
Yeah, that was an awkward fucking.
Yeah. It's a whole.
If you guys don't want to write clickbait, you can leave, but you can't write anywhere else because I got you for 3 years. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
they all seem surprised that they somehow signed a contract, right?
Yeah. Well, I was like, when did you make them sign this new contract?
I think they signed the contract just recently before the actual sale happened. And she acquired the company in all contracts withstanding.
And Jamie's like, yeah, my girlfriend just gave me a fat raise. I'll be with this for 3 years.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. It was awkward. So awkward. I felt uncomfortable for all of the characters through all of this. I don't know a lot about this character, but she is a like villain. Akrata is her name, and she has powers. I don't know which direction they're going with her, though. There's absolutely no way to tell at this point. She is a Mexican superhero, but
Orderly.
Well, she is Argentinian, the actress. And so they were talking about like, oh, my father down in like Buenos Aires. So I think they're just changing it to an Argentinian character as opposed to her playing a Mexican one. So whatever, that's cool.
Instead of them saying all brown people are the same.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know where they're going to go with this, but she has, like, mystical powers. She's anti-establishment and anti-authority in the comics, like, very much not a businesswoman of, like, everything is clicks.
Not a corporate takeover person.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I have nothing to go off of as far as where they're going to go with this because she's a polar opposite right now. So she has like shadow powers. She's good at hand-to-hand combat. So she could be pretty terrifying later if she ends up being a real villain in that regard. So, James left Catco, like straight up. Is he just going Guardian or is he like leaving?
He's leaving.
Although,
where's he going?
Where's he going, man?
He's going to be Jax in the new Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, but like for permanent or for...
No,
like,
for permanent. Yeah, they're writing him off.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I think the article came out sometime in July that he was leaving. And then the dude got cast as Jax in the Mortal Kombat reboot. And I don't know if you've seen his Instagram lately, but that man has gotten gigantic.
Really?
Huge. Ooh, yes.
Look.
Here, the humidity's going to go up in the room here in a minute.
Do you think this is good? Do you think this is time?
I don't know what else we could do with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it's
like, what is he going to do at this point?
Yeah.
Like
he is ripped.
I told you he's huge now.
Dude.
My God.
Yeah, it was no joke when they're like, he's playing Jax. And then all of a sudden he started posting all the pictures of him working out and stuff, getting ready. I was like, that man has gotten large.
Yeah. Woof. All right. Sam.
He's got bigger boobs than me.
I'm glad. I hope he's gone and they just bring him back whenever.
Well, they did mention cameos in that article I just skimmed.
Yeah.
So
in the article I just skimmed in preparation.
I definitely skimmed that article.
I think it's good. I think it's okay. I think the cast doesn't need to be oversaturated with characters that aren't offering anything huge. to the team at this point.
Other than his muscles.
Yeah. And I mean, he's doing Guardian stuff. That's cool. He helped out, whatever. But we've got his sister in the mix now, too. And it kind of feels like she might be replacing James in that regard.
The family just gets the sisters.
Yeah, right.
We're writing off all the dudes. Gonna be all chicks soon.
We don't have Wynn anymore.
Mm.
You know, and that worked out really well while they had their team up going on with Guardian, sending him out on missions, being in the little truck, you know, being surveillance. And it just seems like it's time. I don't want to hate the character because it's dragging things down.
Or they're forcing him into things.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, what can we do with Jimmy this time?
Things are done with Lena. You know, things are now at a point where he's like, I'm not going to sell my soul for Catco, for this new owner. I'm not going to do that. I won't report without integrity. And if I never work in journalism again, fine. I honestly like it because he's gotten to a point in his character arc where he's been taking a stand and putting himself at risk to do the right thing, to do the thing that requires integrity. And, you know, he went from being on a high horse about some stuff with the Children of Liberty to realizing, oh, holy shit, I messed up and I was maybe not right about so many things. And the other people that were warning me, you know, may have been more right. he jumped off that high horse and he has been a really good moral compass in the show since then. So I think this was a really good way to send him out. And now, you know, I'm sure we're seeing more of him in the next few episodes or something like that. But he can't just leave without the characters saying goodbye to him. That's not going to happen. But I like this.
He's like, I quit. Where's Jimmy? Well, he fucking quit. Oh, okay.
He doesn't live in National City anymore.
He just packed up and left.
But yeah, I'm not upset about it. I've grown to like James as a character a lot more over the past couple seasons. And, you know, that's a bummer, but I would much rather the character go out on a high note.
Rather go off than, again, us hating them until...
Yeah. You don't need to beat a dead horse and make us hate a character and want them written off.
Yeah. Wish he would die.
A character should leave with us going, oh, man, I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
But this is a good ending. Like, that's great.
He's still standing on his morals and just bouncing out. This isn't what I want. I'm out.
I just want everyone listening to know that... in Bob's notes here, one of the bullet points is, dude is in shape.
Well, when you say Jax from Mortal Kombat, you're talking about a guy with metal arms that doesn't wear a top.
Yeah.
Jimmy didn't always wear a suit, and he's gotten in super good shape since then.
He has always looked like he's in shape, though.
But not in this Mortal Kombat shape.
Not gigantic shape.
Yeah, that he's going to rip your fucking arms off your body.
And then feed them to you slowly.
Literally.
All right, so let's get into some of the other storylines, some of the top moments, top things to talk about. We've got Brainy and Dreamer still together, still doing their thing, still awkward.
Cute, though.
Yes. The scene,
awkwardly cute.
The scene with them was a little, it was a tad mushy for me at a certain point. I think music is what kills it for me. As soon as, like, music starts playing, I'm just like, kill me. I want you to be emotional and vulnerable in a scene, you know, with two characters in a relationship. But I don't need, like, I love you so much.
You don't need the CW library of hits we've been playing since Dawson's Creek in 1980 or 96.
Yeah, I don't need that. But it was short-lived, and okay, that's fine. But I mean, I did kind of appreciate the super awkward, like, hey, I don't know if you've done this before. Have you ever, what? No. Yeah. No, I'm not. You thought I was, had many romantic conquests.
I would like Brainy to say, we don't bang with insertion. Just some kind of weird alien
thing.
That's
really specific.
I don't know. He's an alien.
Huh?
Just something out of the normal.
I don't think on the CW they're going to green light the
insertion.
Line. We don't bang with insertion.
Is insertion or bang the wrong word?
I think insertion is worse than bang.
Oh.
It just sounds so clinical and gross.
Penetration?
Yeah, I would, ew. I don't know, just say sex, man. Just say sex or say like, yeah, we were banging. Like, I don't know. I was plowing that girl last night. Like, whatever. All of that sounds better
that
than...
That sounds douchey to me.
Penetration. Insertion. Like, it just sounds like some dude, like, wanking it in his mom's basement to, like, weird...
It's not your dream to have some dude over you going, I'm going to penetrate.
No.
I'm going to penetrate
I'd
you.
I'd be like, wow, not anymore.
I'm here to penetrate.
Not anymore. You are leaving. See yourself out.
It is now the Sahara.
Yeah, you are not entering anything. You are exiting.
You're entering your pants and getting out.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sorry.
It's so weird. I do like how they handle Brainy and Dreamer. I do like that Dreamer is very conscientious of, like, comfort levels with different people. Brainy's obviously a weird dude. He's not normal by any means and has been kind of awkward about a lot of stuff. But, you know, she's feeling it out with him and being direct and being like, hey, what, you know, this is where I'm at. Where are you at? I would like to move things forward. It's been a few months or a month, right? A month.
A month, I think, is where they're at.
And yeah. Like,
which isn't good because I think one of them was like 4 months ahead.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which means we're going to have a long-ass break somewhere.
Either way, kiss me, you prude. And then he did. Great. Cool.
It's cute.
Good communication. Let's keep it moving. Now let's talk about James's sister and Alex. Is her name Kelly?
Kelly sounds right. You don't want to read my note for that one?
Jimmy's sister, whose name I can't remember right now.
Yeah, that is the note. I feel like it's Kelly Olson. I don't remember.
Yeah,
Kelly Olson. Did it. Crushed it.
You win.
Woo! Yeah, so that's going well, and we didn't get a huge update on that, and that's perfect. They're cute. I like them together. I think they're believable enough, but we don't need to delve into every single bit of their relationship. Obviously, they're doing well. Awesome. She's starting a new job. Alex is still doing her thing. They're happy together. That has progressed. They're comfortable. They're doing all right. Awesome. Great. That's the update I needed. We're done now. And the moment... I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I'm just kind of bulldozing through that. Do you agree? Do you feel differently about that relationship situation? And
it's fine right now because it's not getting thrown in my face. It's a normal relationship.
Yeah, they're just treating you as normal, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's not. I think now that Alex is more a seasoned lesbian, another awkward phrasing. You know, I think we don't have those struggles anymore. Yeah. And so they are treating it as more of a normal relationship than before. It's like, I never done this before. Nobody's loved me.
I think a difference with like Brainy too is that he's fucking weird. He's not a regular human, mm-hmm. you know, or even a regular alien. He's like part computer. So it's interesting to see the weird ways that he interacts with people in general, let alone a romantic, intimate relationship. So that one definitely deserves some exploration sometimes because it's interesting. It's different. You know, it's not just like, I want to have a baby. I don't. We're not getting married anymore. Well, I hate you then, you know?
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Speaking of things you may have forgotten.
My dad doesn't like lesbians was the other part of the story.
Right.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was going to say.
Clearly forgot all of that.
Y'all remember at the end of last season when we found out that Jean is not the last Martian and he supposedly has a brother? What? Crazy.
Sure didn't until that guy showed up. And I was like, oh, right. That's happening too.
Yeah. Just in case you forgot, he's here to wreck you and say that he's your brother. So, woo. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that.
I can hear that on the microphone, Candyman. Jesus Christ.
It's also mildly distracting.
Sorry. Skittles.
We've had a full house.
Yes, it's been a full week on DC on RMD with every single host running through the studio in the last 3 hours. Some of them bringing candies like we're going to see a movie.
I'm really glad.
And his name wasn't Ryan this time. Sorry.
Steve.
He's the rainbow.
I'm glad it was me that was hosting the shows that people have been walking in and out on. Because I'm distractible, but I still kind of reel it back in and get back to it. Whereas I think Ryan would have just needed to take breaks.
All right.
What a messy first day back. All right. I noticed a couple little things with Jean's brother. If you notice, his eyes glow like the opposite color. Not really opposite, I guess, but they glow green. His powers is like, what do you even call that? His like power blasty effect color is green, whereas Jean's is red. His eyes glow red, all that stuff. Interesting. I don't know if it's really noteworthy, but it's cool. It'll make for, I don't know, easy ability to tell them apart in future fights.
Be like, oh, he's the green one.
Mm-hmm. But how did Jean not know about a brother?
I was thinking the same thing. Aren't Martians all supposed to be connected in some kind of, you know, worldwide web of Martian stuff?
Well, they have to touch each other for that.
Brothers haven't touched each other?
Apparently not.
Awkward. Crazy.
Maybe he's a half brother. That's why he said, if you're my brother, prove it. And he charged him to like touch him. And then there was like a whole phase blast thing.
Okay.
Come on, Bob. Get with it.
Look, whatever. That's my answer.
So I'm not incredibly educated, I guess, on Martian Manhunter's lore. Martian Manhunter's cool. I've enjoyed, I think, everything I've ever read or watched with him in it. I like the character. He's very powerful. I don't know about his brother. I know that he is, Martian Manhunter has a twin brother. That's who this guy is. It's a name I'm not even going to say because it's very difficult.
I'd have to rip your tongue off.
Malifak? Malifak?
What?
Malifak? I don't know, man.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to say that on air if it's Malifak.
MALEFAAK.
Ladasha.
Latasha. That's his name. And he's his twin brother and like the arch enemy of Martian Manhunter. And I don't know anything about him. I don't know.
Does Martian Manhunter need a main villain when in a Supergirl show?
No.
No, but I mean, if it ties into the story well, that's okay.
Well, so far it's not.
We'll
see.
So
I need to see where the hell this is going.
It's the first episode. A note, he is the only member of the Martian race born without telepathy and a weakness to fire. So he's not weak to fire like Jean is. And he doesn't have telepathy, which answers the question of, you know, how did he not know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you would think, especially being twins, they would be more connected. Oh, Malefic? Malefic or Malefic or something like that is...
Maleficent?
Maleficent
Jones is his name. Maleficent Jones. That is what we're calling him for the rest of the season.
Okay, when is he going to turn into a dragon?
Probably whenever he wants because he's a shapeshifter.
Good.
Episode 2, dragon. Okay, so let's talk about the contact lenses really quick. What the hell is going on with that?
I don't know. All I thought was like, oh, look, Black Mirror.
Right.
We're just going to steal from that now.
But it's Rojas who owns that company and is controlling all of that. So is she going to be some like...
Maybe this super, is her villain thing.
Yeah, like super tech mogul, villain
plan to take over things. I mean, do you foresee a future with that at all, Bob?
Yeah. Yes. If they don't take over, the way they called them zombies and everything else, I think was foreshadowing to something happening either with somehow. I think Lena's AI is going to play into this also.
Mm-hmm.
With the glasses.
I could see that.
Or with the contacts.
Yeah, it's weird looking. Also, why would you put that shit in your eyeballs?
Because I want to see menus.
But you can look at the menu in front of you, and then you don't have eye fatigue.
Or dry eye.
God, contact lenses suck, man. There's a reason I wear glasses every day. But that there's going to be some sort of social commentary here about the attachment to technology. And technology has benefits. However, when you get too obsessive or too addicted to it and you're ignoring other things or not enriching your life in other ways, negative downfall, blah, 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 whatever. That's going to be a big thing this season, I think.
Because yeah, between that and corporate controlled media, that's going to be the two big social commentary.
That's the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Not we will build a wall and
I mean, that might come up.
No, that was last year's. We have to have different social commentary all the time.
Yeah. Right.
If fake not, news. It wouldn't be Supergirl. Yes, fake news. And yeah.
So. Yeah. So I think that's going to be it for what the social commentary is. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll do our final thoughts. We'll talk about our rating for the episode and finish it all out.
ADC comic fans, want to learn more about Batwoman? Check out Batwoman Volume 1, The Many Arms of Death. Fresh from her adventures in Detective Comics, Catherine Kane returns with her own DC Rebirth title and an intriguing new mystery to solve in Batwoman Volume 1, The Many Arms of Death. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details.
Acorns Core automatically invests your spare change and lets you invest as little as $5 anytime or on a recurring basis into a portfolio of ETFs. Your investments are then diversified across more than 7,000 stocks and bonds and automatically rebalanced when the market fluctuates. Save for the future and invest with Acorns. Once the show is on demand, click the Acorn link within the description of this broadcast and start saving.
Help our network grow by pledging to our Patreon. From now until the end of the year, we are asking our listeners to donate a minimum of $1. In order to keep the network alive, we need to hit 100 subscribers before the end. So help us keep the lights on by heading over to www.patreon.com/RainmanDigital. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details.
That is kind of morbid. I think I need to rewrite that.
Yeah.
The end.
Before the end, we're all going to die. We live off of morsels that we purchase with the money you send us. Five of you.
They have this chained up. If we don't get to 100, they will not release us.
Yeah. We are writing to you via a transcriber because we are cuffed and bound. We cannot move. Please help. Final thoughts on the episode. Nicole.
It's some of the social commentary preachy stuff, but I mean it's just part of the show at this point. Still made me eye roll a little bit, but the visual effects were kind of cool. I didn't mind them. They weren't terrible, and the way her new suit like showed up was really cool. I think still really, really disappointed in the Lena thing, but other than that, it was overall a pretty decent episode. I'm interested to see what's coming up.
1 to 100, what would you rate it?
Probably, I don't know, I'd probably say a 65.
Really?
Yeah. Closer to 70, maybe.
That's funny.
Closer to maybe 80.
Maybe.
That's what I rated Batwoman. And I feel like Batwoman was a weaker premiere episode than Supergirl, for sure.
Just based off of what I heard from Batwoman, because I didn't watch it, it'd probably be way lower.
The first half would be way lower. The second half is, okay, fine. Okay, so I think for me, the visual effects were fine. I thought nothing looked out of place. Nothing looked bad. I thought it actually looked pretty good overall. I didn't see any effects that stood out to me as being overly cheesy or cheap looking. It all looked pretty standard. I like the way this episode was written. We got to catch up on everyone, but we didn't spend unnecessary time on stupid bullshit. Even the Dreamer and Brainy little relationship moment, I think that scene was maybe a maximum of a minute and a half, 2 minutes long. And I don't even think it was that long. It was a short scene, and it got us through a little situation with them where they pulled off from the rest of the crew. And we had all sorts of moments of them hanging out, being buds, you know, exchanging little jokes between them, trying to settle a debate of who's the greatest movie villain of all time.
Who is it?
Apparently Hans Gruber, according to the lesbians.
What do lesbians know? Nicole, who's the greatest villain of all time?
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
I'm not prepared for this question.
Oh, yeah. Come on. When are you ever prepared for anything I say?
Sometimes.
About 15% of the time?
I never know how to answer questions like that, because I'm like, I don't know, I'd have to consider it and do some...
Look on the situation in order to see my heroes in.
I gotta punch some numbers in, and I'll let you know.
Are we talking, like, magical-type villains, or...
strictly corporate white-collar crime. yeah, honestly, I don't know. I would have to think about that.
I don't have an answer either. I don't know. I'm giving you guys shit.
Yeah, man. Screw you.
Yeah.
You and your double standards. I like the way the episode was written is the moral of the story. I think it was paced well. It moved well. It caught us up, brought up new things, went right to it. There was no filler. It felt like it gave us everything we needed to know, closed some doors, opened some new ones. Boom. All right. Episode 2. Let's go. Let's do it. We are never short of well-acted, well-performed moments from the actors on this show. I think everything with Lena and Kara was beautiful. I mean, they have such good chemistry together. Those actresses are so good together. It was all really, really like edge of your seat kind of, oh my God, how's Lena going to react? Sort of reactions from me. And overall, I think I'd rate this episode, I don't know, like,
the percentages is the hardest thing.
Yeah, it is.
Screw you, Mike. Great man percentages.
Asshole.
it would depend on what aspect of the episode.
I don't know. I think like an 80.
Wow.
Because, I mean, and here's the thing, though. You have to understand, it's a premiere episode. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be all action. It's not going to be all, like, you're introducing a ton of new things and catching up on what's happened and, like, reestablishing things. It's hard to do as a pilot episode. A premiere episode. It's hard to do that and have a good episode that doesn't just feel like we just did, you know, 45 minutes of homework on the show.
Yeah. For me, again, the acting was fine. I don't like the storyline. I don't like where they're going. I don't want this for Lena. Like, there was no reason to go Luther with this. You know, she was supposed to be different, and you're proving that it's not. You're falling into, you know, everything that we thought she was going to be from 4 years ago that we've hoped for so long. Yeah. And that's why I think I'm going to downgrade this. I'm going to split the difference between you two. I'm going to give it like a 73 probably, just because I didn't like the decisions that were made in the story that was going on. It just it doesn't seem realistic to me that, again, if you are my friend, that you will not forgive me for like, I'm not going to say a little white lie, but something that I was trying to protect you from.
See, and here's the thing, too, is I'm so conflicted on that, because overall, I thought the episode was very well done. But I'm so pissed about that storyline. I was teetering between like 70 and 80. And I should have split the difference at 75, but
yeah,
I'm going to stick with 80 right. Because overall the episode itself was done well. And I think it was a successful premiere of this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still pissed about Lena. I'm holding out hope that they're going to turn this around somehow, but we'll see.
Yeah, she seems too angry for that.
All right, well, that's going to do it for today's DC. I think that really will wrap things up, though. Let's leave it on that sad but hopeful note, I guess. Keep on listening to our future episodes of DC on RMD Supergirl Edition. Don't forget about our Patreon. It really helps us out. And our social medias have been updated to be DC on RMD since the change last season. Facebook is still DC on CW, though.
Facebook,
you don't suck. It's fine. Anyway, so we will catch you.
No, you do suck.
We'll catch you next episode for episode 2.
Quarter million people like us. Nobody sees our shit.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.